Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and today we are wrapping up our Pivot to Profit series and our third and final interview of entrepreneurs who pivoted and truly not only profited, but they are thriving despite the pandemic. And today, oh my word, all of these conversations have been phenomenal, and I hope you guys have enjoyed them as much as I have enjoyed doing them. But I will tell you, Christine and I, we talked for probably 15, 20 minutes before I hit the record button, and then another 30 minutes, and we had to like, okay, we have to hang up now after the show ended. So I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as her and I did doing it. And let me tell you a little bit about Christine. So Christine is not your average girl. She's a divorced mom of one. Christine has an engineered artistic mind with a bartender's personality. She has made her way through predominantly male industries to build a business tailored to those with a genuine giver's mindset. Her experience has aided her in the development of a process to educate others on how to build their networks intentionally. Christine has built her business through active community building and strives for others to be able to replicate so that perhaps one day networking won't always feel like a dirty word. So please enjoy and welcome to the show, Christine, or I'm calling her Chrissy Smith, co-founder of Ripple Effects. So welcome to the show, Chrissy. So I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. And we've already been having a great conversation before I even hit the record button. And I said, let's get this recording because so much juicy stuff we've already talked about. So I can't wait for this show. And I can't wait to see what we dive into as we just continue the conversation. But before we jump into our topic of pivoting in the pandemic today, I do want to ask you my fun questions. And that is, the first one is, if you could be living and working anywhere in the world, where would you choose?
Well, thanks for having me on the show today. I would say it would probably be somewhere where there's a beach nearby and the ocean I could hear. Or not be too far away from. I can, you know, see it from wherever I'm working. I love warmer weather. Not that I don't mind, you know, the fall, especially in upstate New York, but I'd rather it be 70 all the time. Would be, as long as it's, that is the qualifier, that would be okay.
I'm totally with you. I know the sound of the ocean, the breeze, the salt air, all of that just always feels so healthy, doesn't it? It always just feels so good. Yeah. And I love the season changes we get in upstate New York, but I don't do winter anymore well. So not at all. So if we were sitting on a beach someplace, Chrissy, just hanging out as girlfriends, talking about life and business and whatever else, what fun beverage would we be sipping on?
So if we were on a beach, it would probably be some drink that has a very long name and has multiple liqueurs in it and is probably blended with ice.
Okay. Maybe a little beach umbrella in there, or the little umbrella thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Probably a little rum in there maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Probably a few different things. Yeah, but it's probably really brightly colored and looks super annoying and super girly looking, but it's like you have one and you're like, oh man.
Okay. That works for me. Works for me. So before we dive into the current year of all these changes, tell us a little bit about how did you get to, well, first what you do and how did you get here? How did you get to this place in business?
So I own a company called Ripple Effects that I started right before pandemic hit. And I had inadvertently been doing the things that I do for my company before. I've been doing it for about 4.5 years. And it just turned into an opportunity to really leverage a skill I didn't realize I had and be able to offer it to somebody else and give them an opportunity to really help them move past their own scarcity mindset and build a business in today's time rather than, you know, be stuck in how they think they're supposed to be doing things, which is not necessarily present.
And I know before we talked about the name, I love the name of your business.
Yeah.
Can you kind of expand, like, how did that come to be? How did you pick that name? And what is
so, I'm very big in, I have a marketing degree and I'm very big in branding. And I feel like your name is something that's, you know, you're stuck with it, right? Like, it's not just buying a domain, right? Like, it's on your website, it's on your business cards. It's who you are as, you know, the foundation aspect of your business. And I wanted the name to really represent what we're doing. And, you know, just the simple act of, you know, if you can visualize throwing a pebble into any source of water, right? And it has these ripples, right? You don't know where they're going to go. You don't know where they're going to land. You don't know what it's going to bump into. If it bumps into another ripple and it builds a bigger one. And that was kind of the concept that came out of me kind of brainstorming, like, what do I, you know, what I want to build with this. And I feel like that's how networking should be. It should be, you know, we're working together to build bigger ripples, and we don't know how far those ripples are going to go and who they're going to touch and who they're going to impact.
I love that. And such a beautiful visualization too. You can really see that ripple out of that. Mm-hmm. So your business is networking. So when you created this in December, January, when did you first start the business?
So we officially filed our DBA on my birthday this year. So January 9th.
Okay.
And then our LLC we did in like March or April. So we weren't really, I mean, January to March, there was, you know, there was stuff going on, but it was more like just me telling people, hey, this is what I'm doing. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm not really surprised. And I'm like, okay, well, here, you know, I got to continue building it, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just the really raw, bare bones were done at that time. And then, you know, now here we are.
Right. When did you come up with the concept for the business? How long did it take you from the concept into creating and getting the DBA and actually saying, okay, this is it, we're going?
Yeah, so I had already been running strategic networking style groups for about 3 years. It's probably a little bit longer now. And I just felt that there was pieces missing that I could add value to. And it took me a while to get to that point. It wasn't like, you know, I woke up, like, I literally tell people all the time, I'm like, you could have asked me 2 years ago that I could have built a business and actually make money on networking. I would have told you, like, that's impossible. Like, who's going to pay for something like that, right? But it was really figuring out, okay, what is needed and what are people looking for and what doesn't exist? Where are the gaps in, you know, professional development and building a business? And it honestly just happened through trial and error, just having multiple conversations with people. And then I started using networking methodology to build other businesses. And I felt that coaching somebody else in exactly how to advocate for me was way easier than just saying, oh, here's why you should buy from me. It was like, hey, here's a matter of fact way of looking at what I do, and here's what to listen for, and here is the types of people that I look for. And it was so direct. And then I started realizing, I'm like, why isn't anybody else doing this? Why aren't we all being more direct? And it's not that people aren't, but people are very worried about how their business is portrayed, especially if they're in a very confrontational business. So they're in the car business, they're in finance, they're in a multi-level marketing company. A lot of people don't want to talk to them. And that stinks, because you're passing judgment on this person and you don't know them. You're just assuming that, oh, well, you're just going to sell me because you work for XYZ multi-level marketing company. And I'm like, but that's still a business. Just because they are franchising it out, right, doesn't mean that it's not valid. So I wanted to really come up with a way to have people be empowered by what it is they're doing. Understand they are providing value with whatever it is that they're doing, whatever product or service that they're offering, and own it in a conversation. Not just be like, well, you know, I work for this amazing company and blah, 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 blah. No, own what you do. And through time, like, I started really pushing people to be more confident, because what I saw happen after you know, when I gave somebody introductions, when I said, hey, have you ever tried this? Have you ever, you know, thought about this and how you have conversations? I got quality back. That was it. People are always worried about filling their funnel in sales and not having enough people to talk to. Once I started doing that, that never happened. That's never happened now. I've never not had a full funnel. I've never not had enough people to talk to. If anything, it's now the opposite, where I feel like I need more processes to manage all of the people I talk to and having my funnel full on a regular basis. And I'm like, this is something that can apply to any business. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you sell. You can tweak your verbiage and, you know, how you see building relationships, and it will come, you know, it will be advantageous for you.
That's really good. You said so many things in there that I'm jotting down a few things. First of all, what I caught is that you had a strength that you didn't even know was your own personal strength.
Yeah.
and that's what happens when we have our own personal strengths, is because it comes so easy and so natural for us, we don't realize that it's unique, that it's a gift, because it's just so easy. Mm-hmm. And that's so cool that you saw that, you realize that wait, just because this is easy for me does not mean it's easy for other people. So Right. This is where I could make a business out of this. This is where I can help others learn how to do that, because it's not easy for most people. And mm-hmm. I know with your business concept of helping people network in a enjoyable way.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is my word or your word, of kind of that sleazy feeling. And I know we talked about this in our first conversation about just when people have to go to networking events, normally it just brings on that like, oh, do I really have to do this? I don't want to. I don't like it. I don't know what to say about my own business. I hate being sold, you know, other people's business. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel good.
Right.
And I love that you're making this. No, this can be fun. It can be enjoyable. And you're just kind of turning the page on that, or actually slamming down the book and opening up a whole new book on how networking is valuable to everybody.
Right. Right. And it's easy. You know, I think there's this big misconception about we're all having to network, and people are like, well, I got to do it because it's necessary evil. So what they do is not what you should be doing now. Right. And what's really ironic about that is people actually know how to network, and network very well. If you didn't, you wouldn't have friends. You wouldn't like be moving places in your job. You wouldn't have a spouse if you are in a spousal position, right? Or have had significant others at some point in your life. That's all networking. And it's very interesting from like a behavioral perspective that as soon as somebody puts their professional face on, they're like, I don't know what to do. I'm so new to this. I don't know how to act. And we only revert back to, rather than our normal human behavior and what we've been doing this entire time, we revert back to sales training. And the sales training, unfortunately, is this side, right? You're looking at the end. You already have somebody in front of you. Okay, how to overcome those objections, how to get them through the funnel, how to get them to the end, where everybody gets paid, right? But what about the beginning, right? You have to pre-qualify people. Not everybody's a client right then, but that doesn't mean they're not valuable. And that's what networking should be about. Not only building community, but building advocacy within the community, and then building advocacy for yourself and being able to talk freely to somebody about what you do without fearing, oh, they're gonna judge me because, you know, I sell investments, or I sell skin cream or whatever. It shouldn't matter. If that person's not a good fit, that's okay. But that doesn't mean you can't have a relationship. And that's the unfortunate thing I see it happen to myself all the time. I get, you know, we all get those DMs, right? Hey, and it's super long, and how amazing, whatever it is that they're offering, right? And I've gotten to the point now where I cut to the chase. I'm like, do you mind if I'm honest with you? Can I be upfront with you? Or depending on the day, I might just rip them out and say, is this actually working for you? Have you ever thought about building relationships and networking? Because that's not what this is. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're being told what to do, by your boss, by your manager, by your upline, by the person that trains you. And we're all going by things that used to work, because not all of these things existed before, but they don't work anymore. No one is taking the time to say, hey, I've just sent out 1,000 of these and I've gotten 10 responses. Like, that's not a good return. Right. What if you could talk to 1,000 people and your return is 50 or 60% or even higher, because now people know who you are. They're going to pick up the phone because they're like, oh, hey, it's so good to talk to you. It's been a while. What are you doing these days? And it's funny because people love the relationship. People want the relationship, but they think it takes too long. It really doesn't. You just have to ask different questions.
That's so good. Yes. I think relationships are so important in developing that. And so I think this is a kind of a good segue then to get into the pivot part of our conversation today of, so, you know, it's January 9th, you're starting this networking business, teaching people how to network. And then 2 months later, the world's shutting down.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to see people face to face. So first, tell me what went on through your mind, because I feel like so much of what happens in life is it's the thoughts we have and then how we change those thoughts. Because usually our first thoughts are the negative, or sometimes they are. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes we have the positive and then we go to the negative side. But sometimes we have the like, oh no thoughts, but then we go into and I should preface this, anybody who truly pivots knows to go into okay, this is what's happening. What can I do despite that? And they go into a problem solving mode. So bring us back to February, March, all this is happening. What was going on through your mind initially? And then how did you change it and pivot?
So what's interesting about what happened, I feel like I've been prepping for this for a few years and didn't know. I had some major things happen in my life 2 years prior. It was a little less than 2 years, and significant. Like, I got divorced, I had a bunch of friends pass away, and it was like this massive, just awful track. I would never wish this on anybody, to have all these things happen at once. And, you know, having to become a single mom, like, without notice type of thing. And I remember when we were told that we couldn't go out, we couldn't go into the offices. And I usually have like 15 to 20 meetings a week, and those have all been in person for the most part. Everything was, you know, out at a coffee shop or at an office or whatever. And I didn't even take a second look at just transitioning everything to Zoom. And even at the time, so we run networking groups, and they're all over the state now. We have some, you know, moving out of state. And I was like, oh, we're just going to transition them to virtual. I didn't even take a second glance. It literally was a week in person. And then the next week was digital. And some of my other team leaders were like, oh, well, we're just going to pause right now. Like, they said that to me, and I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to network and you're going to just do it over Zoom, because things shouldn't stop just because we're told to stay home. Like, I was literally thinking, I'm like, if anything, you know, we got to be just transition to everything digital if possible, because what happens if we're stuck in this for a long time? Like, I was like, oh, we'll probably be out by May. That's what I was thinking when we went in. I was like, oh, hopefully we'll be out. Like, looking at when other countries, you know, came out, I'm like, oh, okay, well, hopefully we'll be out in a few months. And I'm like, but what if we're not? And I'm like, I need to just make sure that this is going to work. Didn't even realize the impact that it would have after, because, you know, people started realizing, wow, I can just get up and go to my group, or I can just transition from one meeting to the next. And I got a lot more feedback from members at the time. They loved the virtual side of things. They're like, wow, this is way better for me because there's no travel time. And a lot of my groups were like, we're not going back. We're not going back to in person. We might meet out occasionally, but we're not going back in person because this is way more effective. And then it turned into, Well, now I can network with people on a regular basis outside of my area, within an hour, within 2 hours, within 3 hours, outside of my state, outside of my country. And I was like, oh my God, we didn't even realize what we had when all of this started. And I told my partner, I was like, this is something that we need to continue pushing, because giving people the ability to network consistently and already have a method, our method worked in person or virtually. We didn't even realize that. And then transitioning our events, like I was doing events, I've been doing events for the last 4 years, all in person. I had never done a virtual event ever. Like, we're talking networking event that involves like people having to move, or like, and my events are 100% participation. So I'm like, how am I going to do this, you know, virtually? And it took me a bit. I don't even think I did my first event until maybe it was the end of March or early April. And I just kind of sat, you know, thought about it, kind of put it away in my brain, was like, all right, well, hopefully, you know, my idea pops in. And an idea did. I think the first one I ever did was a scavenger hunt virtually, which sounds crazy. Like, how do you do that? But I used just simple things, and then I turned it into, okay, people that, you know, found whatever it is that I was asking for. So I'd be like, okay, go find me leftovers. People would race out of the room and come back with whatever leftovers they had. And it was super silly and goofy, but it allowed everyone to participate. And then I would ask them a question about, you know, tell me, you know, what's the worst networking experience you've ever had? And you would hear that response, and then we'd do another round, and then we would, you know, go to another type of game. And it was cool to get to know people on a different level. And, you know, we would talk about books that we liked, we would share, you know, our LinkedIn information and everything. So it went off seamlessly without even, without too crazy planning, but just keeping the mindset of like, I'm not going to let this stop me just because I have to be home. We have the advantage of technology. We should be using it to continue pushing our businesses forward, because not everybody is shut down, right? Like, there's not every single business can't operate. So people need to still network. People still need to close deals. People still need to get in front of people in order to stay front of mind. So I didn't look at it as like, oh, I'm going to solve everybody's problems, but I was like, I got to do this for myself too. You know, I can't let my business go the other way just because, you know, pandemic happened. It's not forever. It might be longer than we all want, but it's not forever.
Yeah, and even if it is, you figured things out. So it's right. Okay. You've set yourself up, and it sounds like you actually discovered bigger, better things than even just staying networking in person, that it's expanded out, and who knows what's going to be the next ripple that it can create. Right. After doing that. And I love that. I love too that before you came up with the scavenger, which sounds like so much fun. Like, that really does sound like a lot of fun. I have to hear more about that another time, but that you trusted that the right answers would come and you waited for the right ideas to come. So kudos to that, that you just kind of trusted things to just unfold and let them happen. And you got creative and you just went with your gut versus going into panic mode, which I think a lot of times people, you know, they either panic or they pivot.
Right.
And you pivoted, you know, you definitely
pivoted. Fight or flight, right? Like, it's
exactly.
And I didn't even second guess it. I think I almost feel like I had been trained already. Like, all right, got to pivot, figure it out. What do we got to do to keep moving forward and just pretend that nothing changed, right? Like, this is just what I got to do now.
Right.
And it was great. I'm glad this happened when it happened, at least for me, because I feel like if it happened 3 years ago, like if I had built this business 3 years ago, by the way, I don't think it would have worked. But I'm glad it happened when it happened, just because I feel like I already had all this pivoting experience. So I was... I have muscle memory from it now, and it's just kind of like second nature. Okay. Something else. And it doesn't mean that there's not, you know, hard days or hard times or, you know, what am I doing type situations, but, it's less and less.
Right. Right. And I think that's such a great strength, a great quality to have, is to know, and we've all gone through something and we came out the other side. And if we could, your words, that muscle memory, remember that, you know what? I went through this. If I went through that, I can go through this. And if I go through this, I'll be ready for the next thing, because there's always going to be obstacles coming our way. Like, that's just life. There's always going to be things changing. You know, of course, the pandemic, like, nobody expected that.
Right, right. No one expected it. But there's always big things. And you know, when you actually think about our older generations, like our parents or our grandparents or their parents, and they went through crazy stuff. Like, there was war, like, you know, and on, like, you know, close to home, right? Not just in the Middle East, like, we've, you know, some of us have experienced now. And there was other things that happened, like the stock market crashing significantly, like, you know, that kind of happened in 2008, but it wasn't, I don't even think it was as bad as it happened. And, you know, when the Great Depression happened, and I'm like, everything is cycle based. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget, like, okay, these things, this is going to happen again in the future, whether you see it or not. You might, we all forget those things, right? Like, you have a child and you're like, it wasn't that bad. And you have another one, you're like, oh, why did I do this?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I know we could, I hate to even end this conversation. This has been so fun. But what, because your specialty and your gift, Chrissy, is helping people have the right words to be able to network in a authentically feel good way. What little tips can you give people on making networking not feel sleazy, but feel fun before we wrap up our conversation today?
Yeah. So I guess if I could offer like some sort of nuggets, I would say the first thing is clarity. You need to have clarity on what you want out of your business, and then clarity on who it is you want to work with. So a lot of the people that I am doing coaching with, I actually make them take a personality test, and people know who they are for the most part, but I'm like, well, I want to know you to a deeper level. Like, you should have a psychographic analysis of yourself and your clients, because your best clients are actually closer to you than people realize. So if you could go after more of those people and verbalize that to someone else, it's going to be much easier for people to advocate for you if you're able to concisely describe that. And I mean, like, concisely as in, like, keywords. Like, everyone knows what keywords are, right? Like, you need them for your website, you need them for SEO, you need them for social media and content. So think about what those keywords are. If somebody can talk about your business using the same keywords, you did the right thing. That it's going to be so much easier for people to remember, because you're like, boom, boom, boom. You said a couple things and it's just easy for them, because we have a lot going on. And that helps build advocacy, because if other people can talk about you, it's way easier for people to come to you. They're already not defenseless per se, but like they're open to conversation. They're opening to listening to what you have to say. But you got to remember, don't ruin it by just pitching somebody. Assume that this person is going to be a conduit for you. They might be a client, but don't assume that. Assume that this person is going to have a place in my life. I don't know where it is right now, but I'm going to talk to them in a very matter-of-fact way about how I do business and describe to them exactly what I do, how I'm different, the types of clients I'm looking for, and can solve their problems and what those problems are. And then if you do it well enough, you're probably going to describe a person that's sitting in front of you, and they're going to want to work with you at some point. The other thing I would definitely recommend is consistency in your brand and how you market. So, you know, a lot of people don't use social, they use social media, but they use it in a way that it's just like, oh, they just post about their business. Or their company or whatever. And I'm like, you got to stop. You have to do other things. You have to put other content out there that's good. So experience that you had. And I think sometimes people worry about crossing over professional and personal, but you got to do a little bit. You are not just your business. You are a multidimensional human being with multiple layers, and you gotta expose some of them a little bit. not your life story, but different things that you've experienced so that people can feel that, oh, wow, like that person did that too, or they're trying to accomplish X, Y, and Z, or they had a similar life experience as me. Like, that's really awesome. And that's how you bring people together. So just talking about that high level surface. So here's what I do. Here's what I sell. Here's how I can change your life. Nobody's going to see that or listen to it because you haven't offered that other piece, that human component that we're all looking for. The other stuff always comes. People always buy from people that they know, like, and trust. But if they don't know you, what makes you think they're going to advocate for you, give you referrals, give you introductions to anyone else, or buy from you? They're not.
Right, right. I think people, I say that a lot, people buy from you, the person, before they buy right. your product. They need Absolutely. To know who you are. Not the dirt necessarily, but some of the struggles, a few struggles that you've Sure. overcome. That's the one thing I've always learned. Don't share your struggles until you've overcome the struggle.
Yeah, right.
Don't share them in the middle of it. They don't want that. But they want to know, like, oh, she gets me. She's had to go through that too. Yeah. And I know, because we were talking about it right before we popped on, I feel like with the whole because of the pandemic, and now that so many people are working from home, that has gave us this beautiful opportunity that people see. Like, I've loved watching the newscasters, even to see their dogs, to see their kids, to see their yeah. house, see their backyard. And you realize they are just like us.
Right.
And I think that's the whole point. When somebody can look at you and say, wait, she's just like me
mm-hmm.
at some element of it, or right. he's just like me. That's where that trust factor starts to come in, because they see yes. themselves in us and they're like, well, maybe she can help me. Maybe I do need to look into that. And that creates that. And I think working virtually and being open, like we were saying earlier before we hit record, it's okay if the 3-year-old daughter pops in, the cat jumps on my lap. Like, it is just real life
right. right.
happening.
Right.
And right. that's who we are. So we need to embrace that instead of fighting it now.
Right, right. Absolutely. So, now more than ever, for sure.
Right. And I think people are accepting of it. And we talked about that. And I know you said earlier, too, that if the corporations aren't, like, they need to come on board, because that's the direction our world is moving towards, is real life happening and still having success in the process, too. And just being real. So much good stuff here today. So much great thoughts on networking and doing it in a way that just builds those relationships. And again, it's just, you know, authentic is just the word I keep coming up with. So where can the listeners find out more about Ripple Effects and or follow you, Chrissy?
So I have a really big presence on LinkedIn. So you can find me under Christine Smith on LinkedIn. I'm the girl with purple hair, so I'm pretty easy to find. Our website is rippleeffects.us. So it's not like it sounds. It's RIPLEFX.US. And we also have a LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram account, which is funny because I don't have Instagram. But my partner manages those things. I manage the LinkedIn page and he does the other ones. But we're very active on social media, and we're publicly launching next week. So our portal is open. Members are gradually signing up right now with our current group. So we have 13 active networking groups currently. And not all of them are in New York State. They're expanding out of state now. So that's super exciting, because I feel like it's taken forever to get to this point, but now people can officially sign up and become whichever member that they decide. So we have two different memberships, and they could take advantage of taking their networking to a completely another additional level and truly becoming strategic and intentional community builders.
Awesome. And your networking, if I understand it right, it's not just showing up to another networking thing.
Yeah.
You are training people in the process of how to do it the right
yep.
way.
Yep. So all of our members actually go through onboarding. They go through, we have a call that we do, and then there's an onboarding training that they do on our website through their portal. Both of them are very, very quick. The call is probably longer. It's because I'm talking. But the one online is like 3 minutes. But essentially, we train all of our members that are going into the recon groups. That's what they're called. The strategic networking groups, in how to participate, because it's not leads based. So it's intentional and strategy. You have to work to get work, but you're doing it as a team. So we're all having the, you know, conversations on what we're doing, who we're meeting with, and what we're looking for. And it's very direct. So we teach all of our members how to do that. And what's great is it applies anywhere. So you can use our methodology out when you're networking other places, when you have those other one-on-one meetings, when you're out at events or at another virtual event, you can apply what we're teaching in those, you know, in those other sessions. And then people can take it to another level if they want to go through our development programs and learn how to be a professional connector, power connector, whatever word they're using, you know, get as close to a networking whisperer as they can and really take their business to the next level.
I love it. I love it. And I will share the links on how to find Chrissy and to sign up for any of the Ripple Effects if you want to. That will be listed in the show notes. So we'll have that. But thank you so much for this. And I do feel it's such a valuable business model that you have. And I'm so glad that you are doing this to change the whole realm of networking. Yes. And just how you just transitioned so beautifully despite the pandemic, and it's exciting to watch. Heck, you're going to be global.
That's the goal.
Wow. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation as much as Chrissy and I did doing it. It was so much fun. And truly, we stayed on like for a long time afterwards and continued the conversation. I wish you could have eavesdropped on that. So many great nuggets were shared during our live conversation and after the show. And I would love to hear from you. What have you taken away from our Pivot to Profit series? What nuggets are you gleaming from these women who have taken what could have stopped them and turned it into something amazing? How has that supported you? How has that helped you? How has that inspired you? Drop me a DM on Instagram or shoot me an email at sherrymiterco@gmail.com. I would love, love, love to hear from you. In the meanwhile, if you're feeling like these have been really helpful and they have inspired you, but you're just feeling stuck and you're not sure what to do next, or you're not sure how to up-level your business that you already have and how to pivot right now, or maybe you don't even know what your business is. You know you've been called for more, but you're struggling to try to figure it all out. Let's grab a vision call. In 90 minutes, we can sort through some things. Let me be that eagle eye for you, and let's find more clarity. Let's create that vision and some solid strategies to get you moving in the direction you deserve for your business and your life. And then once we have that clarity and that strategy, go ahead, figure out a way to join that membership group for Ripple Effects and let Christine and her crew show you how to share your message with the world in an authentically real way that feels good in your soul. So you can share your message and expand out and let others learn from your gifts, because we all have God-given gifts that you probably don't even realize are your gifts that need to be shared with the world. So grab your vision strategy call with me, and then for less than a couple cups of coffee, join Ripple Effects and start sharing that message with the world. As always, thanks for listening to the show, and check the show notes for the link to book your vision strategy session with me and to find out more about Ripple Effects and follow Christine Smith. Thanks so much.